Today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, 25 through 27, and chapters 15, verses 26 and 27. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verses 25 through 27. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Chapter 15, 26 through 27. But when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. This is the word of God.
It's the month of January, and it is custom in our church that in this month, at the beginning of the year, we like to refresh our vision and our values. So if you're new in our church and you want to find out what is Revive about, this is a good time to be in our church. And last week, for the first Sunday of the year, I preached on the most important value in our church, which is that we are gospel-centered and grace-driven. And today we're going to talk about our second value, which is that we are a Word and Spirit church. Word and Spirit church. And today I particularly want to emphasize, what does it mean that we are a church that really very much depends on the Holy Spirit? We receive the Holy Spirit. We trust the Holy Spirit. We're led by the Holy Spirit. We're empowered by the Spirit. Okay? So let's get into it. Part one. Led into truth in a world of lying liars. It's the very first need for the Spirit, because we need truth, right? Led into truth in a world of lying liars. Part two, the Holy Spirit helping you. What kinds of ways does he help you? A lot of ways, okay? And part three, imparting the indwelling Christ, uniting us to Jesus Christ. What is the greatest, greatest gift of the Holy Spirit to us? That he unites us to Jesus. Okay? So part one, led into truth in a world of lying liars. I was thinking as I was prepping this message, about 10 years ago, if I had started this, people would have been like, okay, I know we're supposed to have the truth because we believe in the Bible and the Bible is the infallible word of God and all that. But, you know, it just would seem almost like a boring thing to say in the church, almost like a religious checkbox. But today, to say that you need a spirit of truth to lead you to truth, doesn't that seem incredibly, incredibly relevant? We live in a world today when really, it's really hard to know what's true. I grew up in a time when people just thought, you know, what is said on the news, isn't that true? We had certain respectable news outlets. I particularly like to read Time Magazine. Does anybody know what Time Magazine is? Anyone in this room read Time Magazine? Okay. Time Magazine was a world-famous weekly news journal, and I wanted to be one of, like, you know, the smart, sophisticated people of the world, and my mom got me a subscription to Time Magazine, and I actually read it when I was 12 years old, okay, all right? So starting in junior, I couldn't even understand some of it, but I was like, okay, I want to know what's out there, and Time Magazine was highly respected. And most people thought, what more or less taught said to you was true. I thought so too. As I look back, I think it was generally more or less true in the 1980s. Today, Time Magazine, is it still even around? And if it is around, would you believe what it's telling you is true? I don't know if I don't think I would. There's lots of words that are said to us on in the internet feeds. I don't know which internet feeds you trust. Do you know if they are true? I read. I'm a sports guy, so I read ESPN. And then you read this article about something in, I'm reading a lot about the NFL playoffs right now because we're in the middle of that. At the bottom, there'll be all these other links to all these other articles. And do you know that if you click one of those things, first of all, your phone will start to get a lot of junk. So don't click one of those things at the bottom, okay? And those things on the bottom, they often have some kind of snazzy picture and something very gossipy. They often are a little more than advertisements to try to get you to sell, buy something. And those advertisements are mostly probably false. And the other things are, they are almost semi-pornographic, or it's just kind of very scurrilous gossip. That's the stuff at the bottom of the article. And why is that stuff on there? It's because they pay ESPN for you so you can click, so they can make money off you because you are the product. You know that? And a lot of things on the internet, if you click on it and if it's free, and this is how we get our news these days, if it's free, did you know that you are the product? You know that you're the product? Do you know that Google gives you free email so they can spy on you and then they can market to you? You are the product. This is the world we live in today. So in so many different ways, what is true? I'll just say one more because this is so relevant right now, okay? It used to be that our universities were filled with professors who are the best and the brightest, and they taught you the truth about chemistry or about history, or about, you know, about something, some other important subject today. But one of our top universities, Harvard, is just recently, I don't know if you could say she was fired or whether she resigned. The president of Harvard resigned because she has a track record of plagiarizing other people in her scholarship. And she was already in trouble because there was a whole group of students on campus who were sympathetic to people in the Middle East who believed that basically it's a great idea if Jews were to be eradicated. And when she went before Congress and that was asked that by one of the Congress people, she gave a really, really kind of terrible, gross answer. This is the leader of Harvard. This is the world we live in today. Now, that's just your news feed and whatever, all the stuff that's coming at you. I could have pointed out, young people, are you on TikTok a lot? What I tell you is, if it's news and it's on TikTok, don't believe it. Okay? But let me point to the person who's probably the worst lying liar in your life. And let me give you a piece of really, really bad news. The worst lying liar in your life is probably you. Did you know that? The worst lying liar in your life is probably you. You're like, I don't lie. What do you mean? What do you say to yourself? What is the spirit that comes inside of you that tells words to yourself? Is it a greedy spirit? It is an angry spirit. Is it a fearful and anxious spirit? If you have an anxious spirit in your heart, do you think that anxious spirit says words of truth to you? Do you think that you speak truth to you? When I look around, I think it's quite obvious that human beings, we like lies. We like lies and half-truths. And it's just like, you like your lies and you like your lies. And you know what American freedom mostly is? It's the freedom to choose your lies. That's really what a lot of American freedom is about. And so what is the spirit inside of you that speaks your truths? That's what people used to say when I was a younger man. It's like, hey, I'm so glad you found your truth. I'm still looking for my truth. And when I used to listen to that, I went like, you know, there's only one truth. Truth is like a one-time thing, right? It's like, so there isn't a truth for you and a truth for me. And over time, I realized it was just, you like your lies, I like mine. Might be something like this. If I just find this really, really gorgeous woman and she likes me, my life will be fulfilled. You don't exactly say that out loud, but that's the voice in your, that's the spirit that's in you. But this other person goes, if I just get this job and then if I make this amount of money, oh, well, okay, wait. And then if I make, you notice that, then if I make this amount of money, oh, and then if I get this amount of money, that's a spirit of greed. But it's very, very helpful if there's a spirit of truth. So now let's go to the Bible. So I picked, I hope this doesn't feel like I'm cherry picking out of the Bible. I gave you, Jesus has an extended discourse in chapter 14. I mean, it keeps going on actually. But he says so many different things. I just wanted to help you focus on the Holy Spirit. And here we go, verse 15. I'll skip verse 15 for now. This is Jesus. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that's someone who helps you besides me, to be with you, verse 17. And what does he call him? The Spirit of Truth. You know, the first thing that you need, because we like lies. And by the way, you're like, oh, come on, Pastor. You're like, that sounds like really, you know what you, if you like half-truths, partial truths, but not the whole truth, then you like lies. And you know who's like that? If you think you're not like that, you are delusional, okay? You're in denial. We all like partial truths. We all like partial truths. We like half a loaf. It's a very unusual person that wants the whole truth. And if you think you are, there's a lot of places in your life I bet you don't want it. And that's why your friends, they don't tell you things about yourself. They already know, I'm not going to say this to him because he doesn't want to hear it. I already tried. If you're married, go home today and ask your spouse, are there things that you tried to say to me that I don't want to hear? Okay? And then when they say, of course, just believe them. And then you will know you like lies. You like half-truths. And so, we need a spirit of truth. Now, I'm going to say something else. The spirit of truth, the world cannot receive whom the world can't, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But then Jesus says something very interesting, but you know him. You know him. And I want to say this. I didn't do that. I just closed my dock. Okay. You know him. This is one of the things that makes it hard to be a Christian. Because we have the Holy Spirit. If you entrusted your life to Jesus, then there is someone in your life called the Spirit of Truth that leads you to truth and convicts you of truth. You know why? When you come to church and the guy up front, it's usually me, and then he says things like, well, you like lies. You know why you sit there and you're like, oh. You know, so a lot of you, you're probably squirming right now. And you know why when I say that, you're like, is that true? Darn it, I think it's true. You know why you hear that? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. Is it because you're a smart person? I'm such a good person. I'm such a great person. I'm so smart. I know what's true. No. Because God helps you. And helps you to get to the truth. And when I say something like that, it's not because I'm trying to be mean. It's because when I see the Bible and go, hey, the spirit of truth over against what? The spirit of all our half-lies and delusions and denials. So first thing Jesus says is, you know what you're going to get? You get a spirit of truth who will help you live inside the truth. Let me say, let's go to the next passage. All right. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong doc. Okay. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you, who is giving you the Holy Spirit? The Father, because Jesus asked, Jesus sends the Spirit. And again, hear what it says, verse 26, he is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. And what does the Spirit of truth do? He bears witness of me. How do you know if the Holy Spirit is with you, the Holy Spirit is influencing you, the Holy Spirit is leading you? Because he will bear witness of Jesus. In fact, the Holy Spirit is always seeking you to see the truth about Jesus. The central activity of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness of Christ, to help you adore Christ, love Christ, be united to Jesus Christ. So you go to a church. If they tell you things about, they open up the Bible. So if I go to a church and they go, okay, at least they open up the Bible. I've been to churches like this. They open up the Bible. They find a piece of good wisdom from the Bible. And then they will start to like talk about that with you. And then they quote all these other secular thinkers, maybe good secular thinkers. I mean, they're good at this anyway. And then they go, see, you should, you know, believe this. You know, when I hear that, you know what I think? I'm like, that's a truth from the Bible, and the Bible is the infallible word of God, but when I hear this, I don't feel the Holy Spirit. What I actually hear is a pastor saying, here are clever people in our culture, and you know they kind of agree with the Bible, and it's also in the Bible too, you should follow this. But they're not actually pointing you toward Jesus. The center of the Bible is Christ, is the gospel. You know what the Holy Spirit is always trying to do? Give you the preeminence of Jesus, and then always agrees with the Bible. The Holy Spirit inspired the Bible. The Holy Spirit gave us the Bible primarily so you can know Jesus and follow Jesus, obey Jesus, and then all that is from him, the truth of everything, will flow out. And you know how you get that? Through the Holy Spirit, who helps you to deeply trust in the Bible and deeply trust in Jesus, okay? Let's go to the next passage, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, the Holy Spirit comes in the name of Jesus. If there's a spirit at the church and they tell you it's the Holy Spirit, and that spirit is not all about the risen Savior, the one who was crucified for you, the one whom you should obey. It's not always about Christ. That's not the Holy Spirit. If you go into a Mormon church and they'll tell you about the Holy Spirit, it will not be about the crucified Savior. If you go into some other, if you will go into a church and then they will tell you about the Holy Spirit, but then it is not about the risen Christ, it's not the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you a story that I heard just a week ago. This just really made my skin crawl. So I know a young man who went to a college, a rather famous college, I won't say the name, but you all know the school. And when he was a freshman at this college, he started checking out different Christian fellowships. So he and his roommate went to one Christian fellowship. And they were having a worship service. And in the middle of the worship service, this young woman who was one of the leaders got up in the front and said, I have the voice of Jesus. And she started speaking as if she had Jesus and started telling them stuff to do. And then the kids like started crying and got on their knees and stuff like that before her. And when he was at that, he got really weirded out and really disturbed and said, I want to go back there. And I told him, good. because that was demonic. She wasn't pointing to Jesus. She was like usurping his authority. That is a disgusting and dirty spirit. So you go to any church, it doesn't matter if they say they're a church or if they say they're a Christian. Please seek the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth will always give you the most important, the one who is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said by Jesus, actually at the very early portion of this chapter. The one who is truth, the Spirit of truth will point to the one who is truth. And so our church, we're always about the Bible. Any good church should say they're always about the Bible. One of the things, though, that we feel is that there's lots of churches, they say they are all about the Bible and trust in the Bible. But then when you go into their midst, their spirit isn't locked down on the authority of the Bible with a deep, deep love, absolute deep love for Jesus, right? When you go to a church that's like that, they are like, no, we do not screw around with the Bible. We don't go around respecting what man says over the Bible. And in our hearts, we have a deep, tremendous love and allegiance to Jesus. We will die for Jesus. We will sacrifice for Jesus. We will do whatever he says to do. And if the world says that they hate us over it, we're like, whatever. That's a church that has the Spirit of truth. Okay? Let's go to part two. The Spirit helping you. So, their word here is actually a very hard word. Jesus is always calling him the helper. Okay, that word doesn't exactly mean the helper because the word there is parakletos. Okay, and that's a Greek word that is untranslatable. Okay, and in multiple translation, you'll get some will translate like this translation is helper. Some translations say counselor, some have said advocate, some have said comfort. I just looked at all the most famous English translations and some have made those decisions. And you know what the Holy Spirit is? All of those things. Parakletos, he is the one who helps you. He is your counselor. He is your advocate who will go before you, who will defend you. He will also comfort you because the Holy Spirit is God. But what is he mostly doing? He's doing all those things. But let's just use the word help, okay? And I just wanted to quickly hit some of these things that Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will do for you. And Jesus already said the Holy Spirit will be with you and in you forever. What I find is that most Christians don't know when the Holy Spirit is around, don't know how to be attentive to the presence and power and movement of the Holy Spirit in your mind and in your heart, and honestly, a lot of churches don't really teach this, and it took me a long time. I wish someone, some of the things I'm going to teach you today, I wish somebody just straight up sat me down and said, here it is in the Bible, see, Jesus said this, 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 and this. Pay attention and look for the Holy Spirit to do this in your heart and in your mind. So what I want to do, laid out in this part two, is to help you see the Holy Spirit in you. And all the ways he helps you, all the way he loves you and blesses you. And I'll just start right here. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of you think, you know, who leads Revive? They're like, it's Susong, isn't it? Let me tell you, I don't lead Revive. One of our convictions in this church is that Jesus leads Revive. Jesus leads Revive. How? By his word and by his spirit. It is so great that I don't lead Revive. You know how I know how to do what I'm supposed to do in the church? I'm led by his spirit. And through his spirit, I have a sense of the leading of Jesus. And if I'm wrong, usually Young will tell me, or John will tell me, or if they think I'm wrong. But you know what we find out? You know what we do is we talk to each other and we're looking for the Spirit. It's not, oh, okay, Young is really smart. Let's just go with him. No, that's man's spirit. We trust that the Spirit is with us and he will be our helper, all those things. So Let's just, I already gave you the first most important one. This is the spirit of truth, and it will lead you to truth. And we'll just start, I'll just say this one more thing before I go to other things, the ways he helps you. If you're not sure about Jesus, if you feel a pull, you're attracted to this person, Jesus, and this message of the gospel, it's not because Tusang is clever. It's because if you feel that tug toward Jesus, as you hear about him, that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, leading to you to the one who is truth incarnate, okay? All right. Let's go to a second one. Verse 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. See, he's a teacher, gives you truth. But here's the one I want to help you with here. And bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. What is one of the first ways the Holy Spirit helps you? He helps you to remember the truth. He helps you to remember all the important truths of the gospel and of Christ and who God is for you. He helps you to remember the truth. So, have you ever noticed this, that churches are repetitive? That we say a lot of the similar things again and again and again? You know why we do that? Because people are so forgetful. Do you forget that God is this way or that truth or this thing? Do you notice that a lot of the things that I preach, you probably heard before? And do you notice that a lot of things you need are the things you already know that you forgot? You're like, I think I know this. Yeah, I know this. And then like a year later, you find out, oh, well, I think I know that I'm supposed to trust in Jesus more than money. But then for the last 3 years, all I was anxious about money. So apparently, I forgot. Here's one of the first things I want to say to you. You know why church regularly reminds you of things? Because the Holy Spirit is in the church. And the first way the Holy Spirit helps you to remember is through his church. Through the very on purpose, repetitive reminder teaching of God's word. So please don't get irritated if the Bible is repetitive, if your pastor is repetitive, if the songs are repetitive. Now, obviously, if we say the exact same things again, 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 it's annoying. But if we teach you the course of the whole Bible, you will hear things that you've already heard. So that's the first thing I want to say. But let me tell you a different one. Have you ever had this experience? If you follow Jesus for any period of time, I bet you have. You're walking through your life, and then you have a thought. Maybe it's the course of a song. Maybe it was something you heard in a sermon 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 2 months ago. And it's right and it's happening in the middle of a work meeting or something really painful is going on in your life and it speaks to you a truth that you need, a comfort that you need, a wisdom that you need, a strength that you need. Or you're at this fork in your road. You're like, should I go this way or should I go that way? And then this song will come into your mind, or your wife will say something, and it'll ring right through with the scripture passage that you need that day. Do you think you're so smart? You're like, okay, I now know what to do. You know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit helping you to remember. It's the Holy Spirit helping you to remember. I have found over the years, I have a strange knack for remembering things I heard in sermons 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago. I have a strange knack for remembering interesting little details of movies and of books that I read. I'm reading something in the Bible, and then I'll remember something that's like, oh, that's a really good illustration, a modern illustration of this thing in the Bible. You know when I get that? You know what I think? I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Spirit and forming my sermon right now. Because I just pay attention. The Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance. Let's go to the next one. Am I in order here? Yes. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The word peace there is not actually a good translation. And I gave it to you. In the Greek, the word is eirene, which is the translation from the Hebrew for shalom. If you've taken membership class, you might remember there's a little peace. Peace is a poor translation for shalom, because that's shalom means more than simply peace. Here's what shalom means. When everything that is lacking in your life is full and overflowing. That's what shalom means. You have a cup. It's not half full. It's not even full. It's overflowing. That's what shalom means. You have fear that there is so much strength and hope that your cup overflows and the fear is washed away. That's shalom. So, Jesus says, my shalom I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's exactly the opposite. In this world, we're regularly afraid. We're regularly troubled. Young people today are so anxious. It's insane to me how anxious they are. And they're so tired of being anxious, they start to wonder if maybe they start to get this horrible, dirty spirit in their mind that thinks maybe it'll be better if I die. That is a spirit of wicked lies, and it's coming from fear. It's coming from anxiety. It's coming from being troubled. You know how Jesus gives you peace? He doesn't just give you a feeling. You know how Jesus gives you shalom? He puts God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit into you. You know how you get shalom? God's presence literally comes into you and washes the fear away, takes it out, and reminds you this is who you are. There's nothing in this world, as we sang, that could separate you from the love of God in Christ. You do not have to earn it. It is never conditional. And when you have that power, that presence in you, that's shalom. And it's not just a feeling, it's the Spirit Himself. When you get that, if you ever get moments of like that, here's what I want you to think. Wow, I think the Spirit is washing over me right now. You ever get that feeling you walk into church and you come into church, you're frazzled, you're angry, something, you had a fight, it's amazing how this happens all the time. You're driving and you're going to fight with your kids and you're thinking about the fight that you had with your boss or something like that, and you come in frazzled, anxious, troubled. Two songs in, just this truth just starts washing over you, and a peace and a power starts washing over you. Is that because you're such a good worshiper? Is that because you're a good Christian? You know how to do good religion? No. Because the Spirit is in here. And the Spirit is putting the peace from Christ, the shalom of God, into you. And let's do one more before I go to the close of our message today. Well, actually, I should do two more. Let's do quickly two more. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Okay, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Doesn't that sound so mean? If anybody else said that to you, that would be mean. But if it's Jesus, he never commands you to do something that isn't utter love for you. But you know, you need help to obey. You know the other way the Holy Spirit helps you? He helps you to actually want to obey. Want to obey. What if you don't obey? It's all, your money's all about you. I don't want to forgive this person. They're bad. I like hating this person. I like feeling better than this person. But then something of the truth comes over you from Jesus, His grace, His mercy, His shalom. Makes you even begin to want to try to obey. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay? Okay, one more before we go to part 3. verse 26. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, which I already said. But here we go, verse 27. You also will bear witness, again, about me. You know how the Holy Spirit helps you? Helps you to let the glory of Jesus be in you, to let the identity in Christ be in you, and when you go out into the world, not be afraid to let people know, I'm in Christ. If you hate Christians, well, I'm not going to be ashamed. I was just talking to a young man about it today. I was guest speaking at this other church, and this young man, he's Chinese, he grew up in Fremont, and he used to go to one of the Taiwanese churches in town, and then after college, he stopped going to church. And then he started dating this Korean gal and started going to church just about 3 years ago. He thinks that's when he got saved, actually. And now he's got all these non-Christian friends, and they're starting to ask him about church. And he said, I don't like make them go to church or tell them, because they just say, like he's hanging out with them, and at 11 o'clock at night, he goes, I got to go, guys. That's about when they're going to start getting hammered. And they're like, oh, why? What's he goes like, tomorrow I'm going to church. You know what he's doing? And they're like, oh, he's going to church. And then you know what they've noticed? After he started going to church and after he got baptized, he's happier. He has purpose. He has joy. He has shalom. He's bearing witness. The Spirit is in him, and it's just coming out. And they can feel it. Okay? So I hope all these things are some things that you want in your life. Do you want God's peace? Do you want help and power to obey? Do you want to be reminded and to remember things that you need to remember? Do you want to bear witness? The Spirit will do all these things in you and with you. Okay? Let's close this message. Imparting the indwelling Christ, uniting us to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read out this portion that's in this chapter, which I didn't have read because I wanted to close this way, okay? And here's what I'm going to read. This is Jesus. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while and the world will see me no more. Because this is before he's about to go to the cross and be ascended. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Okay. I'm like, Pastor, this is going to be the gospel? That last part makes me feel really guilty. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. So let me just start right here. I want to start right here. Verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And here's the part I want you to see. I will love him and manifest myself to him. Okay. Here's the thing I want to say. If Jesus is close to you, if you see Jesus, you will want to obey him. If you'll hear his words and respond to his words, you know what will happen? You'll become close to him. And then he'll become closer to you. Do you want that? Please don't obey Jesus because you're supposed to. Did you hear our brother? When he was giving the prayer about offerings, there was one brother, he gave an offering to God out of obligation. He was referencing Cain, and that led to murder. There was one brother who gave an offering to God out of love, that's Abel. I want to call you today to want to obey Jesus so you can be close to him. And let me just say a little thing that you already know, but we regularly forget when it comes to Jesus. Who are you closest to? Isn't that the person you talk to? Isn't that the person you listen to? And when that person says something to you and they really care about you and you actually listen and respond and do something that they say to you because you trust that they love you, don't you get closer to that person? So I'll tell you who that person is for me. It's my wife. Now, I must admit, she tells me to do things and I regularly don't do them, okay? But I at least go, oh, I should do them. I at least want to try to do them. I'll just tell you the one that, this is what she told me last night to do. You should put lotion on your skin because you're going to wrinkle up and become like, you know, an old man and you look not good. Okay? Because when you get old, your skin will dry up. And I'm like, that sounds like nagging. But it's probably love. So I got out of the shower today and I was putting lotion on myself. Because my wife loves me. And if I actually listen to what she tells me to do, I'll be close to her. And it's just like this. She will love me and show her love to me. She'll show herself to me, which is another way of saying she will give her whole heart and love to me. You know who will help you to do that? The Holy Spirit will help you to follow Jesus and be close to him. Now let me close this way. Verse 18. Let me go to this verse. I will not leave you as orphans. This is Jesus speaking. I will come to you. I will come to you. He's saying, after, you know, I'm going to die. I'm going to go up to heaven. But I will come to you. He obviously is not talking about he will come to us in his physical presence. Last time I checked, Jesus isn't walking into my front door. But what is he saying? I will come to you. Yet a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Well, that's strange. The world won't see me anymore. Why? Because he ascends to heaven, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Do you want to know that Jesus is in the Father, and that he is in you, and that you are in him? The theologians call this union with Christ. You know who does union with Christ? The Holy Spirit will unite you to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit in this life will help you to see Jesus, hear Jesus. He brings Jesus to you. And it will very much help if you obey Jesus, because you get closer to the one who you listen to. And the Spirit will help you with that too. The Holy Spirit was given by Jesus to impart Christ to us, to unite Christ to us, and to make Jesus close to you and help you to believe and see that and feel the presence of Jesus every day. So let me close. As a young man, I did not have this theology and I did not believe this. So I was a Christian. I was taught good things as a young man, so I behaved like a good Christian. Mostly, I did not realize it was me trying really hard and a lot of legalism. But somewhere I got into my 30s and I realized my discipline, my Christian, you know, trying hard just stunk. Or it just made me tired and it wasn't good enough. But then I started to notice these passages that Jesus isn't just up there, he's close to me. And the Holy Spirit, who's invisible, will make the invisible Jesus seen and present and heard. And I started to pay attention to what happens in my mind as I read the scriptures, what happens in my heart as I go to worship, what happens and how I'm directed, how I'm reminded, how I am comforted, how I am empowered. And I began to realize the Holy Spirit is always leading me to Jesus. And maybe I should start to believe Jesus isn't just up there. He's right here. And you know what I found that to be true? It's always true. And now, I'm not really afraid for the most part. And I mostly have joy, mostly. And because the Holy Spirit gives me Jesus. Church, go get Jesus. The Spirit wants to give you Jesus, always. Let's pray.